I want us to go to set the table here this morning to a couple of scripture verses, if you will, starting at 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18. And I want to speak this morning about transformation. Transformation. What's the word? Transformation. Come on, stay with me now. Transformation. Becoming what God has always intended us to become. And so I'll begin this way, even before I set the table here with reading some scripture. Back in the late 1800s, a man by the name of Max Beerbohm wrote a short story. And the short story was entitled The Happy Hypocrite. The Happy Hypocrite, a fairy tale for tired men. And in the story, there is a man who wooed a girl as a girlfriend, and then he married her, but he wooed her under false pretenses. He put on this mask, as it were, of something that he really wasn't. He really wasn't the kind of person that he was acting to be. In fact, there was other girlfriends who knew him to be a scoundrel. And he wooed her with this mask, this trickery of being this other kind of person, this nice person, this kind person, this great person. And finally they got married, and lo and behold, he ran into an old girlfriend who exposed the ruse and told on him. And that, you know, he's just wearing a mask. And of course, everybody was kind of deflated in the whole thing, but he took the mask off only to discover that all the ways in which he was pretending to be this other kind of person, in the process of time, he had actually become that kind of person. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. There is. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and I want to go there and work our way through some stuff this morning that I believe will be life-changing as for all of us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory." Now, that's tough because, you know, you ever notice that about the Bible, how positive it is? Because sometimes we reflect that we're full of baloney. But here it says, we all reflect the Lord's glory. And there is something glorious about the way in what we reflect that is of the Lord. But look at what he says. How is that possible? He says, we are being what? Transformed. You see it there? We are being what? Transformed into his likeness or into his image. Going back to Genesis, when God created man, how did he create him? In his image. And so we're all transformed in his life with ever-increasing glory. Wow. Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, we can say so many things about that, and the emphasis is on where does the transformation come from? The Holy Spirit. You know, not by ourselves, cleaning ourselves up, transforming ourselves. We have a part to play. Nevertheless, follow with me now, because I'm not done setting the table, all right? I want to go to Romans. Now chapter 12. Romans 12. So turn back to Romans and chapter 12, which comes right after chapter 11. And want to just read there a couple of verses, okay? And Romans chapter 12, where he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," how merciful is our God to us? They're new every morning. He says, "to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." He says, "don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may," he says, "then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will." He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. The way in which the world acts, the way in which the world thinks, worldly kind of living. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform. Transformation. And then the last scripture verse here, and then our table is completely set, going back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. Chapter 1 this time. And reading a couple of verses there. 2 Corinthians 1:3, where he says, let me get there. I'm in 1 Corinthians. These twins always get me. They get to me sometimes confused. So he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Aren't you glad for that? Who comforts us in all our troubles. So that, and here's the deal. He comforts us so that what? So that, with the result that, with the result that, the same comfort that we receive from God in our own lives, in our troubles, we can what? Give it to other people who are also in trouble. That's what he says there. What we've just received from him. And then, just one last scripture from 2 Corinthians 4:12. He says this. He says, all these things, you know, because in the first chapter, he is talking about, you know, receiving comfort from God because of the sufferings that we share. And then he comes to chapter 4 and still talking about all those kinds of sufferings. And he talks about it once again, the same dynamic. Verse 12, he says, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So if the things that we go through that we feel like, man, I'm just dying here, that somehow God is able to use those things and turn them into life in other people. Pray with me. Father, in Christ's name, Lord, as we look together at this amazing stuff, that will have such a sense about us that the master teacher himself, the Holy Spirit, is drawing near to us and speaking to us and teaching us and helping us in this thing that we call life, our lives, where we live, what we live with. I pray in Christ's name, amen. And so transformation. Now this is how I understand transformation. And what I'm speaking about in particular when I say transformation is precisely this: becoming what God has always intended you to be. That's what I mean by transformation. Okay? What is it? It is becoming what God has always intended you to be. Transformation. So now this is how I understand transformation. I understand transformation that this way, that I am now in Christ. I'm in Christ. And we can explain that in so many ways, and I don't want to go there, but only to say, I used to be in sin. I used to be in Bob, you know. And now, because of Christ's salvation, I have been transformed into being in Christ. My sins are forgiven. I've been given a new heart, a new spirit. I am in Christ. Let me help you with this, okay? Looking here at something that C.S. Lewis said, and I'm going to be using C.S. Lewis at least three times from his book, Mere Christianity. Mine is weathered, torn, ripped apart. Last year for Christmas, Sandra bought me a new copy. I started it, but I still, you know, it's like an old pair of shoes, you know, you just, or slippers, you know, you always go back to the comfy ones no matter what. So, but anyways, just listen to something that he said about this whole idea here, transformation and being in Christ. He said, it is something like that with Christ in us. The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let him take us over, the more truly we become ourselves. You know, we think it's the other way. I got to go find myself, you know. And we think by finding ourselves, we have to discover more of ourselves. The only way we find out ourselves is by finding him. That's what he's saying, by finding Christ. He says, There is so much of him that millions and millions of little Christs, all different, will still be too few to express him fully. He made them all. He invented, as an author invents characters in a novel, all the different men that you and I were intended to be. The idea there is like there's no two snowflakes alike. What God intends me to be is so much different than what he has intended you to be. But it's all good. And then he says this. In that sense, our real selves are all waiting for us in him. Our real selves are waiting for us in him. So when I talk about transformation, this is how I'm talking about it. This is how I get it. And hopefully you'll get it too. In Christ, I'm not what I used to be. A transformation has taken place in my life in 1972 when I received Christ and he changed my life. I'm not what I used to be. That my past with all the stuff in that pit of my past before Christ that I lived in. He has not removed my past from my life. He has redeemed my past for the new life that I have in Christ. I'm not a person without a past. How can you be a person without a past? It's impossible. I have a past, but a past that he has redeemed. And so those things in my life that I'm not proud of, that have caused me shame, that I have been guilty of, that in Christ I'm not what I used to be, because there has been forgiveness, there has been the blood of Jesus, there has been the redemption that has come into my life, and he has taken my past and he has transformed it, and he is now using it for something good in my life. What a powerful thing. Even the past of yesterday, the past of last year, the past of 5 years ago. Only he can do that because his name is Redeemer. And so this is how I understand transformation. You understand, in Christ, I'm not what I used to be. And it goes on. How I understand this, in Christ, I'm becoming what God has always intended me to be. That is to say, my future. See, what lies ahead of me? You know, who can predict with any kind of certainty tomorrow and what tomorrow holds? None of us know. But in Christ, I have a future. In Christ, I am certain that he who begun a good work in me is going to complete it until that day that I stand before him in heaven. God is doing something in my life. It includes my future. And that future is one that he has everything in control, that he has it all sized up. It is certain in him. And my future is laid out in such a way that he is going to continue to stitch into my life, into the fabric of my life, all that needs to be there to bring me to what he has always intended me to be when he created me, my future. That's transformation. That's how I understand transformation. And then something that gives me good, you know, great peace is this. In Christ, I am what I am now by the grace of God. I'm not yet there, and I can become frustrated, you know, because I'm not as saintly or as perfect as I one day hope to be, you know. And when I consider how long it is that I've walked with the Lord, some 45 years, and yet have a bad, evil thought, say something comes out of my mouth that shouldn't have come out of my mouth, or I act in such a way that is so far unlike Christ and so much like Bob that it astounds me. How can I have known the Lord for this long and act like this? I am then reminded that it's not by any works that I can do, but it's by his grace and his grace alone that I am now what I am by the grace of God. It's by grace, and I am in Christ. My present condition, I can be at peace in what I am, even though I'm not yet perfected, but I'm getting there. You understand what I'm saying? So this is how I understand transformation. And I think that it's important for us to keep all of those three things in tension. I'm not what I used to be. I'm becoming what he has always intended me to be, but I am right now, by the grace of God, what I am in Christ. And that's perfect in Christ. That's awesome stuff. Now, transformation is, you know, you say, what is it? How would you explain in simple terms transformation? Well, transformation, simply put, is change. Change. You know, someone said that change is a lot like wanting rain. You know, we've had no rain. You know, it's like, everybody knows we need it and wants it, but then when it comes, you know, when's this rain going to stop? And transformation is simply changes that happen in my life. Can't stop there. Transformation, changes that happen in my life that lead to growth into the kind of person I was created, redeemed, and invested in to be. Okay. So that you've heard me say this before on more than one occasion, that it's not enough that I change. Because you can change and be the same. It's possible, you know. You can change and be the same. That what God is after in our lives is that we change and that we grow into the kind of person that he has created me to be. I was created in the image of God. He is after me growing into the kind of person that Jesus spent his life for me to be. He wants me to grow into the kind of person that he has invested his Holy Spirit. He has deposited his Holy Spirit within me to be, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in the past month and a half, I have had such a battle with impatience. It's incredible. And you've heard me tell some stories, you know, being in line and sticking my head out the window and hollering at people to hurry up. I laugh. It's like, huh? I'm serious. It's craziness, you know? And I've had such a battle with impatience. And because of my impatience, you know, I made some stupid decisions. You do this, and you got to backpedal, you know? And what God is after is that changes take place in our lives so that the fruit of the spirit of patience is there. I was quite proud of myself this morning when I woke up at the crack, way before the crack of dawn. I know Todd tried to get in touch with me, what was it, like 20 after 8? Forget it, I was asleep. I was asleep. Because I'm up early. And when I woke up this morning, something happened just before I fell asleep last night. And I was like, wow. Oh, I passed the test as I was reflecting. Because something happened, Sandra and the computer, as I was dozing off to sleep, that otherwise would have put me on edge. I would have had to get out of bed, stomp into the other room, and grudgingly try to help her. I didn't do that. I woke up this morning like, wow, Bob. You know, wow. You know, wow. And feeling all this kind of, wow. And I give myself a one out of five, a three on that. Because, underneath, there was this, you know, and it was like, ready to blow. But it was like, easy here, it'll be there in the morning, you'll take care of it. And I did. I took care of it in the morning. You know? And becoming that kind of person, the fruit of the Spirit kind of person, is what I'm talking about. Now, there are three things that I've learned over the years about change that leads to growth. Three things. Or again, as C.S. Lewis calls it, this second time that I'm using him, he says, a change that leads from being creatures of God to sons and daughters of God. We're all God's children,
Bless God, all God's children. Well, we're all creatures of God, having been made by him, but sons and daughters reflect the image of their father. They act like him. You know? And so change that leads to that is what I'm after in my own life. See, this is what I'm after in my own life. And because this is what God's after, boy, you got to get this. That's what God's after in your life. He is after change that leads to growth in your life. And so here's three things that I've learned. Here's the first one about transformation. And I'll begin with transformation. Transformation that leads to growth. Transformation takes a long time. Takes a long time. You say, how long? Well, after it takes a long time, it takes longer. Okay? Transformation takes a long time. Now, I say that referring back to little, you know, telling on myself that I just did. It's like, you know, I catch myself acting in ways and saying things and thinking things that it's like, wow, you know, by now, I mean, I ought to have my wings. And I'm still pushing down the horns, you know? And it's like, what is going on here? And the thing that the Lord has helped me to see is that, Ruluith, it just takes a long time. Transformation takes a long time. And, you know, change doesn't come easy. So why does it take a long? Because it doesn't come easy. Even for those of you who, oh, I love change, you know, and you're all giddy about it. And my wife has an aunt who, it's like every other week she's changing the configuration of her living room. Because she just likes change, you know. When you walk in one week, the sofa's over here on this wall. You walk in the next, you know, it's on the ceiling for crying out loud. I mean, it just loves change, you know, all this stuff. And you know, I don't mind change as long as I don't have to. And that's usually the way it works. And so, you know, there change is a process. It's a slow process. And I would say that it works in our interests when change comes slowly versus a rapid kind of, oh, I got it now. I was talking with, you know, a friend who was an addict and is an addict and has fallen time and time and time again over the years, and he's in recovery right now. So, oh, I got it this time. And I said to him, I wish you wouldn't say that. I wish, you know, I want you to be confident, but I wish you would say something like this, you know, I'm not sure. It's just going to take some time here. Because that shows, in my opinion, it shows that, you know, you're not dependent upon yourself, but you're dependent upon the slow processes that need to be at work in your life by the Spirit of God. Because, listen, our lives are a mess, you know. It's like the little boy who was, you know, out playing in the dirt. And, you know, he's at that stage where, you know, his mother calls him in for a bath. And he, you know, he has to leave his trucks in his dirt. It's time to come in for your bath, you know, little Bobby. And he says, oh, Mom, can't you just dust me? You know, just get the feather duster and dust me, you know. And that process of change in our lives, you know, our lives, a little dusting won't do. God's after a major overhaul in our lives. And you know, and this is not an indictment against us, against you. And I'll say it like this. Your life's a mess. Your life's a mess. You say, well, thanks a lot for the insult. No, you're welcome. And I know my own heart. And one of the most dangerous prayers that we pray is, Lord, search my heart. Like the psalmist prayed, search me, O Lord, and see if there be some wicked way in me. And it's not search. You know, God never searches our heart so he can rub our noses in it. He searches our heart so that we can experience transformation. You see what you're really like, Bob? Oh, I see what I'm like. He says, but I'm working in your life in a slow process of transformation to make you what I've always intended you to be. Thank you, Lord. How long is it going to take? Oh, well, Bob, that depends. I think it's going to, in your case, it's going to take extra long. It's a slow process. And then the second thing I've learned about transformation is this, about change that leads to growth. Transformation recovers the image of God in me. So that when we go back to the fall, you say, what fell? What came tumbling down in my life? The image of God came tumbling down in my life. And I became other than what God created me to be. And you know, Adam and Eve, the repercussions of Adam and Eve touch you and me. And so what happens in transformation is God is building that image of God back up in my life so that I do reflect the glory of God. See? I do reflect what he has always intended me to be. It's like going back to the original. That's what it is. See, going back to the original. So that's how I see transformation. You know? He's bringing me back to how it is that he created me to be in the first place. That's why he sent Jesus. And that's why we call it a recreation into his image. That Jesus came that he might restore us to paradise indeed. That image of God in me. And what is the image of God in me? Well, certainly there are things that are going to, you know, look the same across the board, but oh, so much different than what it is in you. See, so much different. But it is a recovery of that. And here's the thing about that. And this is hard to swallow. And though we know it, and though we say we can whip off, you know, Romans 8:28 off the tip of our tongues, and we hear it from other people when we're going through it, and we don't like to sometimes, and rightly so, because they may say it at a wrong, you know, at not the appropriate time. The Holy Spirit uses everything. No, he uses everything to change my life, to bring change into my life that leads to growth. Everything. Everything. All of our relationships, everything that happens to us, good, bad, indifferent, the random pattern of my thinking, how it is that one thought leads to another. See, not to create shame or guilt. No, there's all kinds of stuff that we can talk about in this. But the Holy Spirit is after change that leads to growth in my life, and he's relentless. Listen, Romans says he didn't spare his own son to accomplish his salvation in our lives. Do you think he's going to spare you or me in accomplishing his purposes in our lives? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, in this whole concept of God will never give you more than you can handle, I want to tell you something right now. Oh, probably about, I've been walking with Jesus 45 years. Oh, probably about 44 years ago, that was blown out of the water in my life. Have you ever felt like you've gotten more than you can handle? Come on now. Come on now. You know, oh, God will never give you more than you can handle. Oh, sure seems like it. You know? And the thing that is the pressure valve in all of that, in all of these things, is that we can believe and we can have hope in our lives that somehow, God is turning those things into something of his image in my life. Wow. That I otherwise could never have experienced. You know, to me, Job's three friends were worse than his physical situation, whatever it was. Whether some believe it was, what's that skin disease, leprosy, some kind of boils all over his skin. I mean, it was pretty bad. If you read the story of Job, I mean, his physical condition was pretty bad. I think his three friends were worse than the physical ailment in his life. You know, with three friends like that, who needed the devil? And yet, here's the deal with Job and his three friends, okay? He could never have become what God wanted for him to become without those three guys in his life. Amazing. Amazing. And so those things in our lives, those things in your life right now, you can never be what God wants you to be without them. Now, I like something that I'll just add this as an aside. Okay, if you're not understanding me, you can't say everything. Every message, you know, fails to go the distance. But here's the deal. Maya Angelou said this. She said, if you can change something about yourself or your life, well, go ahead and change it. If you can't, change your attitude. That's what God's after. And so the Holy Spirit uses everything that leads to growth. Here's the third and final one. Are you having fun yet? Here's the third and final one, okay? Transformation, this is really cool to me. Transformation makes my life speak hope to others. The hope that others see in me becomes hope for them. Do you understand? That it becomes hope for them. They say, well, if she can change, so can I. If she can go through that, there must be hope for me. If she can handle that, well, then certainly I can as well. If she can experience that, well, then certainly I can as well. If he can change, anybody can change. If God can do that in his life, well, certainly God can do it in my life. And so there's that kind of thing at work in us. I like what Amy Carmichael said. She said, it's the life lived that gives force to the words spoken. And all that to say, you know, you can only give what you yourself have received. And, you know, if you've been through it and you're going through it, not even necessarily have made it through it all the way, but you're going through it, and then especially if you make it through it, boy, you have something of worth to give to other people. Until then, it's better just to keep your mouth shut. You know, it really is. But boy, when you've been through it, and there have been, you know, it's like in my own life, I have to be so careful, you know, when I speak. Should I tell on myself? I think I already did tell on myself on this one. Remember the message I spoke about marriage? Yeah, you don't even remember. That's craziness. Well, anyway, it was a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who are here, I spoke about marriage from Husbands Love Your Wives in particular. Remember, Husbands Love Your Wives? And when we, after church, you know, Sandra had to teach. I said, oh, I'd like to go over my message with you, you know, as I usually do. We talk about the message, you know. And we didn't get a chance to go over it, and I was acting like Bob, and she said, hey, how would you like to go over your message with me right now? It's like, yeah, shut up. And I have yet to have go over that message with her. But, oh, man, you can't imagine having spoken that message and them being called up short for the week after. I'm telling you, I really was. And so that's always the challenge. The challenge is, you know, am I something different than what I'm saying or asking others to be? Or the advice that I'm giving, do I live by it myself? You know? Am I what I'm giving to others? Have I received something from the Lord that I'm able to give to other people? And the wonderful thing about, transformation and the hope that's brought to my life is I see transformation happening in my life. You have something that's more valuable than gold and silver to give to other people. And when you got the goods, other people will know it. They will know it. If you're giving them fool's gold, it won't take long before they realize that this is just fake imitation stuff. You know? And so here's your assignment as I close. You ready? You say, yeah, you sounded an awful lot like a teacher today, Bob, quoting from C.S. Lewis and point by point, line upon line. Boy, you know, now
True to form, you're going to give us an assignment. Here's the assignment. Okay? Here's the assignment. You ready? Here's your assignment. Pretend to be the kind of person God wants you to be. Pretend to be the kind of person. You know, it's like, so many ways I can explain this. But pretend to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, namely, like Christ. So I'll end with something that's, again, bookend this with C.S. Lewis said. Pretend. Remember the story of the mask. And all those long years of wearing that mask of being a kind person, of being a gentle person, of being a loving person, of being solely devoted to that one woman that he thought he was fooling just because he wanted her. Eventually he had become all those good qualities. Eventually he had become that. So the assignment is pretend to be all those good qualities. You know, you may not feel like you are. You know, you may have to bite your tongue. You know? You may have to act contrary to how you really do feel. Pretend anyways. See, there's a good pretending and there's a bad pretending. A bad pretending is you're doing it because you're trying to solicit something that's wrong. But there's a good pretending. You're pretending because you're trying to bring up, you're trying to solicit something that's worthwhile and good. And so you pretend. And C.S. Lewis is right here, and I end with this. He says, very often, the only way to get a quality in reality is to start believing as if you had it already. To believe as though you had it already. Remember the movie Hope, right? Was it Hope? Yeah, Hope. Was that the name of the movie? Hope? The maids, the black maids in they were serving people in the South in the time of the racial conflict. Thank you. Help. Help. The help. Thank you. And only one letter difference. Two letters. Challenge. But anyways, remember, I forget her name, wish I could remember her name. She was the caretaker for the one lady's children, and she would pull her aside, and she would look her in the eye, and she would say, you are kind, you are gentle, you are, and she would list all of these things, instilling into this little child all of those traits that she knew, living in the environment that she was going to be growing up with, she'd be forced to wear something totally different. And so say to yourself in those kinds of situations, because I'm in Christ, I am kind. Because I am in Christ, I am patient. Because I am in Christ, I can love my enemy. Because I am in Christ, I can do good to my neighbor when my neighbor throws his snow into my driveway. I'm not going to run out there and pistol whip him. And how we have to pretend in this sort of way. And I guarantee you, as C.S. Lewis says, if you pretend long enough, you'll get that quality in reality. And there's nothing better than that in your life and in mine. Let's stand together and pray. This is a transformational message. I'm telling you right now, this is a transformational message. You say, I don't feel like it. What's feelings got to do with it? Father, in Christ's name, help us. Help us. Help us. Help me, Lord. God, I want to say off the bat in my closing prayer, thank you. Oh, mil gracias, Señor. Oh, thanks a million. Thanks a thousand, Lord, for the times and ways in which you have been patient
with me. Thank you. Thank you. And so, Lord, let the transformation work in our lives. Do it by your Spirit that we might reflect your glory. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, God bless you.